Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. It happened around 6 o'clock yesterday evening. Fairly bright, not broad daylight, but fairly bright. So bright that the assailants are clearly visible in the video footage that have been supplied to us. It happened in Long's Place in Dublin 8, more familiar to a lot of people as around the Guinness Storehouse, near Thomas Street, near Francis Street, near Mead Street. And Mohammed was one of the people who saw what happened. Mohammed, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
What did you see happening, Mohammed?
Basically, I just got home about 20 minutes before that. I was just in my kitchen and I could just hear loud noises, which I just ignored for like a good 20, 30 seconds. But then I decided to have a look out the window and I just seen the whole scene. Basically, there were just three men and they were just targeting this woman. They just wanted like her objects, like they wanted her purse and their her money, and they were just shouting at her, and she was like really panicked and she was screaming, and I could see like people were hiding behind the cars.
Was the gun that this man had, was it clearly visible?
Yeah, it was clearly visible. He was pointing it to her face, like he had it in his hand.
And this woman was terrified.
Yeah, she as was would screaming. Be, yeah.
Yeah. And now, apparently, a few seconds earlier, he had held up another man at gunpoint and got him to produce his wallet, believe it or not, and empty his wallet for him.
Oh, I'm not sure about
Now, did you ring the Gardaí, Mohammed?
Yeah, I did.
Did you tell them there was an armed man on the name of the street?
Yeah, I did.
You clearly said to them, this man has a gun.
Yeah, I did.
And how quickly did a Gardaí come? Because it's quite close to one of the biggest Garda stations in Ireland now, Kevin Street.
It actually was, like, I felt like it was forever. Like, it took 10 minutes. But, I don't know, I guess it was quick enough, but it was, like, everyone had fled by that point, and, the scene was, like, empty at that point. So it was about 10 minutes, yeah.
And how many Gardaí arrived?
So there was the one car that came first, and there was two Gardaí in there, and then a second car came, and I think there was also two Gardaí in that car as well.
And did you, I don't know whether you know the difference, but the armed support unit, which patrolled in that area, especially up around the Coombe, did you see any of the armed support unit there in jeeps?
No, it was just the regular Gardaí car.
Okay, this is footage we got, but now it's very. We just use some of the sound from the footage. You can hear the woman who is completely hysterical because she doesn't know. This man is banging the gun. Swinging the gun at her, pointing the gun at her face, as Mohammed said. She is paralysed with fear. So he's obviously shouting something at her to empty her bag, but she can't even. She's in such fear and shock, she can't even do that. You would be if there was a gun pointing at your face. It's very short clip. Now, the video. There's a number of videos that have been submitted to us from the area, and they're extraordinarily shocking in terms of, again, as I say, broad daylight. A group of students, there they are walking along Long Street, which brings you away from the Guinness storehouse. Long's Place, it's called. They have they're carrying their Guinness souvenir bags or whatever they bought in Guinness's. And just at the back, you see two guys emerging, one in a hoodie and the other fella in a pair of tracksuits. Now, they're a pair of tracksuit bottoms. They come up to the back end of the group. There's a woman and two men. Your man is wearing a blue hooded jacket, dark trousers. He now has the gun in his hand. He now has a cigarette in his mouth. The other chap is in grey. By the way, they're clearly identifiable. This man is clearly identifiable, but apparently under GDPR we're not allowed to reproduce his face because it might upset him when he's having his drink of chocolate tonight before he gets into bed. But he's clearly identifiable in the video. The other thief has his hand over his face and a hood up over his head. But this chap here in the blue with the gun, he's about 30 years of age. He's not clean. He's not clean shaven, but he hasn't got a full beard. And he has black trousers on and black shoes. He has the gun in his right hand, and he's quiet. Now people say, there he is there. You'd identify him. I'd say if we put out that video now, he'd be arrested within the hour. He's easily identifiable. We're not allowed under GDPR, apparently, to put out that video in case we might upset him and might violate his rights. There he is. He's holding the woman. He's pointing at her with the gun. He's still this is, as I'm talking, still the duration. He's after getting one man to empty his wallet, and the poor woman, there's another woman after, no, another man after intervening. He's now comforting the woman, who is absolutely hysterical. She, and I presume her deep upset, has frightened the two lads. Not that you'd notice that they were frightened, because the two of them just turned away. A man slips the gun back under his jacket and walks off back towards Guinness Storehouse. That's the duration. And apparently, where's Francis? Francis, good afternoon.
How you doing, Joe?
What did you see?
Joe, I actually would be a chap. I own a couple of apartments in the area.
Okay.
And I got a phone call from one of my tenants to come up. He said he wanted me to see some footage of an incident just at a door. So I went up and I just saw the footage, and I was absolutely amazed that this could happen in Dublin in broad daylight. And when I looked at the footage, it looks like there's a group of people, students, and they look like they're teachers with them, and they're walking away from the Guinness Storehouse down towards the Fatima Lewis stop,
okay,
through the street. And at the back of it, you can see there's a guy with a gun. He pulls up one of the teachers. It seems the guy, you have teachers at the front and you have teachers at the back.
Yeah, of course.
The guy at the back has to empty his wallet, and he's so shocked. Like, the guy with the gun has a cigarette in his mouth, and not a blink. So then the girl, the teacher at the back, with this guy, she realises he's got a gun, and she starts screaming.
Yeah, I'm looking at the video again, Francis, and there is that chap emptying his wallet. Then your man at gunpoint, and then your man walks. He calls back the other woman, who's the teacher. She's in a blue anorak, slightly older. She's about 25, 30, and she doesn't know what to do. She has her bag over her shoulder.
So then, if you look at the footage, there's a guy, a teacher, who was leading the group.
Yeah.
He runs back.
Okay, I didn't see it.
And then he stands in front of the woman, and he puts his both hands up in the air and says, "Don't shoot, don't shoot." And all you can hear is her screaming, "Don't shoot." And, I mean, this is right beside the busiest tourist attraction in Ireland. Like,
there she is. She now has her rummaging. This is still gone. He now has her rummaging through her bag, but she doesn't know what he's looking for, obviously. And she's trying to cower in at a door, and the other teacher has come back. The blue hoodie chap, gangster with the gun, is pointing at him as if he was going to buy a lotto ticket or something. It's so that's cool, right. Calm and collected.
But Joe, if you see the wall behind them, that's a national school. There's a school there, and they play football there every evening. So all the kids are at that wall. And then you just see there's people walking by with their dogs, there's people cycling by, and there's a man on the side of the road with a gun holding up a group of tourists. And you go, this is crazy.
This is happening. It's in a part of the city well known to Alice Leahy of the Alice Leahy Trust. Alice walks around there by Ivy Buildings and has been based there for many, many years. Alice, you've seen this video in full. Obviously, we can't reproduce it because of GDPR, we're told. But Alice, were you surprised?
I suppose, in a way, I wasn't, Joe, and that sounds terrible. I found it so shocking. I could feel the fear in those two young people, and they clutching each other, and they screaming. And your two callers there earlier on, they have described it so well. I think it is truly shocking. I think, Joe, you had a discussion some time ago. You had Councillor Menix Flynn on, I remember, and somebody else, about what's happening in the city. I think we are all turning a blind eye. And thanks to you, I think if we didn't have a programme like this where people are hearing what's actually going on, it could go unnoticed. I think it's shocking. And I remember a number of years ago, as you know, Joe, I walk around the city every day and I've lived and worked in the city for over 50 years. I was never afraid walking around. I remember a number of years ago saying, I think it was on a programme in RT, that my big fear was that I'd be standing outside a bank one day and I'd be caught in crossfire, and people laughed at me. They said, Alice, that could never happen. We now have kids going around with guns, and then they appear in court, they'll get free legal aid, there'll be all kinds of excuses why this has happened to them. I think it's time that someone in a position of authority would get a group of people together before this city is destroyed and get them together and talk about what is actually happening on the ground in our lovely city.
Now, the statement from the Gardaí says, Gardaí are investigating the robbery from a person. There was two people that were robbed for a start, clear from the video, and three people that were threatened, if not more, at Long's Place, Dublin A, on the 24th of October, that was yesterday, at approximately. Two males armed with what is believed to be a gun. Now, as far as the victims were concerned, it was a gun.
But you can see
They weren't going to say to him, will you fire the gun? We just want to make sure it's real. Because the Gardaí would say, we just thought it was a gun.
Well, I suppose, Joe, I should say, I know the area very well, and I do know the guards in Kevin Street, and they always respond to us when we're called. And you can't have a guard at every street corner.
I know that.
But I do think, and I think it has gone beyond a joke. I mean, you can't even walk up the street now without being verbally abused, without being assaulted. What are tourists thinking of this? And I'd like to know how that young couple is today, Joe. You might be able to.
Well, we're trying to track them down.
Because they must be so traumatised by all of this. And you see, the thing is, people have no fear now of guards, of no respect for anyone who's a bit older than them. Society has completely broken down. And I'm not an alarmist, and I always try to be very balanced. But there is something seriously wrong happening. And, OK, we say there's a huge drug problem, but we are talking about adults when this is happening. So somebody needs to grasp the nettle, because how we're faced with Brexit, we're trying to keep our tourist industry going, we're hoping that people will go into shop in the city centre, that lovely Guinness store that's visited by so many people. There are serious issues here, and I don't know. I think, Joe, you need to keep this up and somebody needs to tackle it.
Well, we're having stay there for a sec, Alice. Mohammed, who witnessed it, Mohammed, when the Gardaí arrived, had the victims left the scene? I presume they ran.
They left like pretty much instantly after.
And I wouldn't blame them.
Yeah.
I wonder, was it just the occupants of the accommodation nearby that reported to the Gardaí, or was it the victims themselves? Though, as you say, they were in such fear, and I'm trying to screen grab stuff because I'm going to tweet stuff on my own account and take whatever consequences I get. There's one picture of the victims. The victims consoling each other, and you get a glimpse of it at the end. You see the two lads nonchalant. You can't see their faces now. Don't be worrying, GDPR people. They're walking away nonchalantly, but you can see it's only a screen grab, but you can see the fear in the two adults' faces after they've been held at gunpoint.
You can feel the fear. Yeah.
Manix Flynn has seen the video as well. Manix, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Have you seen the unpixelated video?
I have. This simply casual criminal terrorism on the streets of Dublin, where individuals, you know, like, banish a firearm to passerbys, to people who are going about their business, and basically threaten them in a horrendous manner. The fact that the Garda Síochána in such an incident took 10 minutes to get there, the fact that the place was not saturated by the emergency response units, that the area wasn't searched for these individuals, the casual nature of the response is very concerning for me. However, the thing that concerns me most of all here is that, you know, I certainly hope that the victims of these crimes, those people who experienced this, are being looked after by the state authorities and by their families. And as I say, my sympathy goes out to them entirely. And to the many people in Dublin City who have experienced such criminality, both in the housing estates, on our streets. And there's no question about it. We were promised by Drew Harris, the Commissioner of Garda Síochána, that there'd be a robust response, that there'd be extra Gardaí put on our streets, that there'd be more patrols, and that there'd be a community response and a proper response. We're not getting that response. What we're getting is police stations being built for millions of euros and a lack of Garda Síochána on the streets. I think this is a really, really, really serious issue. I think it's a really serious incident. I'm so delighted that you actually are exposing this, on your programme. But again, people going about their business up in Thomas Street, in and around Guinness Hop Store, people going about their business in Temple Bar, people going about their businesses in Glover's Court in Dublin, are facing this same criminality from gangs of individuals who are threatening them with firearms. You've got 12-year-olds threatening the 7-year-olds. You have a whole breakdown of law and order. And the reason for that is very simple, Joe. There isn't any consequences for these individuals. There's usually a bail for the individuals. The jails, as you know, are chock-a-block. Yeah. They're simply coming out of the jails and going back into the jails. The city is awash with drugs. The city is awash with a kind of a disorder. And I respect them, Garda Síochána. I know the difficulties they had. I know the cutbacks that they've had. I know what's happening here. But the government needs a response. I think it's also important, Joe, that the Commissioner responds to this issue. I think it's important that the Lord Mayor of the day, Paul McAuliffe, responds. But I think equally it's extremely important that Owen Keegan, the city manager who is in charge of the public domain, responds to this situation. This is actually unacceptable. This is unacceptable. For instance, if the Gardaí had arrived here, the armed response units, with, all of the guns that he had, and if these individuals, which they would imagine were high on drugs, you could have had, a lot of deaths on the street. These guys would have probably banished this gun around Garda Síochána, and there would have been a gun battle on the street. And it's only a matter of time, Joe, before this happened. Now, I don't know whether this is a replica gun, I don't know whether it was a real gun, but I know that the law stands that if you bear a firearm in public, the Garda Síochána are obliged to treat that as a live firearm, and there's a process around that. But as I say, this is unacceptable. And as I say, you have a programme there. We haven't been told in Dublin City Council. The Garda Síochána haven't issued any statement in relation to this for people to watch out for an armed gang who are basically going around the streets of Dublin threatening people with a firearm. This is outrageous that this is lack of response on this. But again, I certainly hope that the people who witnessed and who've been through this experience are getting the help that they need, because this is simply outrageous.
Well, none of the individuals are identifiable, but I think it's a photograph where people can clearly see the gun. I've tweeted it on my own personal account, at Joe Liveline, because RT obviously...
these people can be identified very easily, Joe, because on Garda Síochána have hundreds of cameras in this area. There's traffic cameras, there's cameras on shops. These individuals...
Oh, they are. Even in this video, and as I say, I'm posting a video which they're not identifiable in, but you can see the terror on the poor woman's face. And I know the Gardaí say two males armed with what is believed to be a gun. As far as that woman was concerned, it was a gun. As far as those other men who were robbed is concerned, it was a gun. And as far as your man holding it in the blue hoodie was, it's a gun as well. Even if it wasn't a gun, he was masquerading as a gun. He wasn't masquerading as a banana.
It's about the threat, Joe. It's about the fact that these people were going about their lawful business, and three individuals on the street pulled what was a weapon on them, be it a knife, a gun, and threatened their lives. These people's lives were threatened, Joe. That's the fact of the matter. In broad daylight, and what looked or what appeared to be a gun, and what one has to believe was a gun, was pulled on them, and they were threatened with that. These people's lives were threatened on a daily basis. And I'm saying here and now on this programme that that is a regular occurrence on our streets, just a regular occurrence in our housing estates. It's ridiculous. And now you have a situation where, in terms of responding to an eviction order on a travelling halting site, you have 70 Gardaí there, backed up by an armed response unit. And here you have a situation where individuals banishing a gun on a street, threatening passerbys, and it's 10 minutes response, and it turns out to be an ordinary everyday patrol car. It's not acceptable. It's not good enough for me as a councillor.
Joe, can I come in?
Yeah.
Joe, I remember a number of years ago, I had the Lord Mayor at the time, tell you how long ago it was, when Gay Mitchell was Lord Mayor, there was a crime forum set up by the Lord Mayor, and I happened to be a member of that. And it was a very dedicated group. We produced a report, and like so many reports, it's gathering dust. We hear no discussion at Dublin City Council now about crime. I mean, I must say, Mannix is the one councillor, I feel, who is highlighting what's happening in estates and that. And it is a very, very serious issue. And I also think there's a great capacity for some politicians and some people to just dismiss people who keep going on about the same thing. But I think it's time that something needs to be done. And I think you really need to keep pushing this, Joe.
Okay, let me bring in 51551. Katrina, thanks, Alice. That's Alice Leahy. Katrina Nitrasik. Katrina, you work near this area. It's a high volume. The storehouse is the biggest tourist attraction in the country now by volume. There's also the Vaults Live, which is I haven't seen it, but apparently it's another incredible attraction. You have Thomas Street, Vicar Street, all that area getting more and more popular. You work nearby, Katrina?
I do, yes. So I work in Vaults.Live, okay, which is just there down the lane beside the church on Thomas Street. And I see people, tourists in their droves up and down Thomas Street, you know, cameras hanging out at them, bags of goods coming up from the storehouse, coming into Vaults.Live. And it's a great place that there are many amenities around that area. But I also, you know, spent time in the college in NCAD there as well. So I know Thomas Street for years. And, you know, no, it's so obvious for anybody walking down the street that there are social issues around that area and have been for years. And people are, you know, there is deprivation in that area. And unfortunately, with deprivation comes violence from, you know, violence comes from everywhere. But what I'm saying is that what I don't understand, such a profitable attraction, the Guinness Storehouse, really, I don't understand why they wouldn't police that area themselves.
Well,
with the Garda
Síochána. Katrina, what powers would they have?
Well, they could easily have undercover detectives in that area, highlighting, you know, that would
have.
Yeah,
but Guinness, Guinness, and I take your point, but Guinness would say, first of all, every pint of Guinness sold in the country, most of it goes to the state anyway in terms of excise. And we're paying for the police force. We're bringing massive tourist numbers to the city. They're spending money. You want us to police the streets as well. We make alcohol. We don't do policing.
The cooperation, Joe. Cooperation with companies in their own self-interest to protect the people that are coming. I mean, you have droves of 20, 12-year-old or 16-year-old students walking down the street with two teachers from France or Spain or whatever like that, walking completely unaware of the dangers that they're bringing those people into. I mean, it's absolutely incredible that the Guinness Storehouse themselves wouldn't think, my God, we have to look after these people in some way. You know what I mean? That their cooperation. You see, the thing about it is, Joe, that speaker earlier was saying about, you know, that there is a lawlessness in the country, and I absolutely agree with that. There is a lawlessness in general in the country that is much more prevalent now than it ever was before. But what is really important is, and of course it was called, like certainly cutbacks that happened over the austerity years absolutely have contributed to that in terms of cutbacks in education, in terms of cutbacks in law enforcement and in every way. And that is absolutely true. What is really important is that we all feel a sense of responsibility to cooperate and do something about it now. There is absolutely no point in spending our time pointing fingers at they're doing it wrong, blame, blame, blame. What is the point in that? What is so important is that when I come out of my job in the Vaults.Live, that I am not standing there going, I hope to God nobody mugs me as I get to my car or to my bus stop.
Okay, well, let me ask
that. Sense of responsibility that we all have a sense of responsibility and a cooperation that we all work together.
And even three individuals with a firearm on the street. This is a Garda matter. This isn't about social deprivation in an area, which I know many people, they don't go out and commit crime. These were three individuals who had a firearm in their hand and went out to commit crime. And on Garda Síochána's role is to deal with that, not public security. This did not happen on Guinness's property. This happened on a public street. And I understand the process here. The response here and the responsibility is on Garda Síochána and government and law enforcement. And the facts of the matter are, we're talking here about this situation. It doesn't just happen in this particular area. A few nights back, an individual who died on the street, his pockets were searched and robbed down in Foster Place. This is all over the city. And this
Absolutely, I agree with you.
What I would suggest is that Guinnesses, who make vast amounts of profit, might actually give extra money to the government, to the Department of Justice, to hire extra Gardaí, and then we can have more Gardaí in it.
Let me bring Francis, as someone who has interest in that area, is it a difficult area for tourists or for anybody for that matter?
Well, I'll tell you, any problems I've had up there would maybe be car robbery, something left on the seat, which is my own fault, but I've never had any break-ins, I've never had any problems. But yesterday, when you look at the video, you can see absolutely clearly there was two guys, not three guys. In one of the videos, it looked like a third guy, but he was also robbed, a guy in a leather jacket. So there was only two guys. But what amazes me is they were walking away from the robbery, walking away with a cigarette in their mouth, and actually didn't run. There was no urgency. Nobody was going to catch them. And for that to happen right beside the Guinness Storehouse, literally 60 seconds from the Guinness Storehouse, that is just amazing.
And I see the...
I don't see why the Guinness Storehouse can't be in more relation with the Gardaí and cooperating with them and helping in some way to come up with some way of looking after them. And in no way am I saying that deprived areas breed...
By the way, Katrina, it wasn't Arthur Guinness that was brandishing a gun yesterday in broad daylight.
Absolutely.
It wasn't Arthur. Leo Varadkar right away has tweeted, really pleased that Galway has been listed by Lonely Planet as the fourth best city in the world to visit. It's a beautiful, bustling, cool, historic city with friendly people and great food and drink. No visitor to Ireland should miss it. Now, that was 4 hours ago. No tweet as of yet on what happened to tourists in Dublin. Francis, what I want, Francis, if you say generally your impression is that the area has been generally well behaved, so to speak.
If you walk down there, you actually see there's all decent people living there. There's respectable, hardworking people. There's some very wealthy people living there. So when people say there's social deprivation, where that happened, there's no social deprivation on that street, and you can see clearly. And all those apartment blocks along there have clear camera footage. I actually was talking to the people that own the apartments, and none of them have been asked for the footage by the Gardaí. Now, that's crazy. We're nearly 24 hours after it happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, have the Gardaí been down looking for CCTV?
No, not according to the people that own the apartments and the landlords next door. Nobody's been asked, and even the guys who took the footage on their phones, none of them have been asked to give the footage, which is crazy.
Well, maybe they were.
So that poor girl was absolutely petrified. I don't know. I don't know who she is, but she looks a foreign girl. But she, I don't know. She'll never come back here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, she's not. In the photograph I tweeted at Joe Liveline, none of them I think are identifiable anyway to anyone else. But it's horrific what happened to them. Absolutely horrific. And our sympathy goes out to the victims. It looks like they are foreign. It looks like they had the Guinness bags with them. They were coming away from the Guinness storehouse, and let's hope they're over. When they obviously ran, as Mohammed said, when you've somebody pointing a gun at you and having robbed the phone and money off one person and got another hysterical person to try and go through a bag to get some valuables for him, you would run as quick as you could when the two lads nonchalantly turned away and walked off.
The fact that she was foreign is not worse. Anybody having a gun in their head is a given. It's so important that this is taken extremely seriously. seriously, and that there is that there is a stronger sense that more has to be done in general, and if there are areas that need to be more heavily policed, that should happen, and if there is help from the local businesses to make that happen, that should also happen. And of course it's a police matter, but surely to God there can be cooperation. Surely
there is cooperation. There's constant cooperation between the businesses and Garda Síochána.
Isn't there Dublin? Hang on, Mannix. Isn't there Dublin City Council Joint Policing Committee?
Absolutely. We will be across all of this, and as I said, it's huge cooperation. You can be damn sure that these individuals, because they are very identifiable on the footage that I saw, should be apprehended within the next few hours. And certainly, I'd say they're on the run by now. But the point of the matter is this. It is all too often that individuals who are criminals, by the way, criminals 24 hours a day, and these people would be known because they carried the gun with criminal intent. We have too many of those in our streets when actually they should be in proper custody and proper consequence. The vast majority of people in and around Dublin get on with their business. But unfortunately, they're suffering from a kind of a criminal terrorism, both in the flats and within the city centre. And we have to stamp that out. We have to create zero tolerance around this situation. And maybe Leo Varadkar, our Taoiseach, you know, and we congratulate Galway. But we have to actually remember that Dublin is fast failing because of the hostility, because of the criminality that's taking place in our streets, not just in around the area of Thomas Street, but in around the whole city centre area that I actually operate in. But the vast amount of people aren't that criminal behaviour, and the vast amount of people who are in business cooperate entirely with an Garda Síochána. And rest assured, I will do everything in my power to bring these two individuals to justice.
Well, that's good. And also, a thing that I very rarely see on Thomas Street is any sort of Garda visibility and in many parts of the city. So it would be great that if from now on there could be more Garda visibility, that there could be more patrolling and physical Gardaí on the street.
Well, that's what Harris promised us. He promised us that there'd be more Gardaí on the street, there'd be no community engagement. And we have given them enough time now to roll this out. We want to see an Garda Síochána on the street. We want to see an Garda Síochána in our communities. And we want these individuals who are terrorising the neighbourhoods to be apprehended and brought to the courts.
Okay, Katrina Thrasic, Goodmarket, Francis, Mannix Flynn, Francis. Alice Leahy, Mohammed, who was the witness. He wasn't the man who sent in the video, by the way. That was someone else completely. And we appreciate the two people that sent us in CCTV footage. And the unpixelated footage is available for the Gardaí. You won't be able to make out who it is from even the photograph I tweeted on at Joe Liveline, or indeed the footage that we tweeted at RTE Liveline. But the Gardaí will easily be able to identify those individuals from the footage. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Did I say the Fate Lake Hotel? It's in Waterford, just outside Waterford City, below Waterford City, so to speak. I think it's about 20 minutes. I don't think there's a bus service, but a taxi or if you have a car, will get you out. But there's a fantastic road to Waterford and fantastic railway service to Waterford and a fantastic airport in Waterford. I don't know how many flights they have in and out. But it's the Fate Lake Hotel in Waterford this coming Friday for a funny Friday. Let me see. Tom, good afternoon. You saw the video of the gunman robbing two people with an accomplice in broad daylight yesterday evening in Dublin near the Guinness Storehouse. You live in that area, Tom?
Yeah, I don't live far away.
Okay. And what did you see? What did you see last week? You said you heard a loud bang.
Oh, I heard a loud bang, and I'd come out there, and there's a car dealership just down the road there. Rialto Motors, and I seen three kids, young teenagers, I'd say 13, 14, but they picked up a big rock and lobbed it at a brand new Ford Mustang there, and it landed and damaged the car. So,
why would they lob rocks at a brand new Ford Mustang?
Well, all I can say is
envy, is it?
It's a display of cars, and that was the nicest looking car in the place, and it was obviously that got their attention. And it's just, I don't know what it is, Joe, it's just envy. Yeah, maybe you're right.
And what do you say, they threw stones at a work crew?
They proceeded on down the road, right? What struck me about it was they never ran. That's what made me text when I was listening to the story earlier, they never ran. They went on down the road and then gave a taxi driver abuse at who was waiting at the traffic light. They crossed the bridge and then threw stones at the work crew.
Hmm.
And I had rang the guard at this stage. I said to the guard, I'm witnessing a crime spree here, you know? And then they went into the centre.
Mm-hmm.
And they were then thrown out of the centre. They were throwing stones at people in the centre. And then, up towards the Lewis tracks there, down to where that incident happened there yesterday. And that's where I left them. I called the guards again. I told them where they were. An hour later, the guards came down to me. I gave them a statement.
Stay there, Jan Cummings. Jan, stay there, Tom. 51551, joe@rte.ie. Your friends were visiting from Germany.
They were, yeah. They were visiting us a couple of weeks ago. And okay. They were walking along Pimlico and they got a little lost. And they took out the phone for Google Maps and it was just snatched straight out of her hand. A young person on a bike just came along, snatched it and went. We went down to the guard station to report it, but he basically said, no, there's nothing we can do about it because we'd need a warrant and we'd need, you know, absolute proof and that. So she just had to report it to insurance and, you know, €1,000 phone gone in 30 seconds, you know.
The guard, he said, we need a warrant.
Yeah, on iPhones, you can check exactly where your phone is.
Yeah.
So we could see where the phone was.
Yeah.
But they said, no, look, we can't do anything about that.
Get a warrant.
Yeah, well, I did say that, but they...
Get a warrant. Afraid, you can get a warrant within minutes. The Gardaí have a whole system for getting warrants.
Yeah, well,
they could see where the phone was. €1,000 euro worth of phone, and they couldn't. Yeah. The Gardaí couldn't knock on the door.
No.
Okay, now I see you're the local rep for the Social Democrats in the southwest inner city. Are you on the policing? Did you attend the policing forum?
I did.
Jen?
There was one last week, and at the policing forum, people were very concerned. And this is the same as the one that was in before the summer. People are concerned by the growing number of young people going around on bikes and, you know, creating havoc. They've destroyed shops. They're breaking, you know, just what that man said there earlier. You know, smashing cars or intimidating young people. Teenagers. Yeah, I have young teenagers, and a lot of our friends who have teenagers in the same age are afraid to let their young people out because they're, you know, for no reason, a group of kids are coming up to another young person and just smacking them in the head and, you know, boxing them in the head, not just, you know, slaps, but, you know, there's a lot of intimidation going on. A lot of the older people that I would have spoken to over the time of the local elections felt very intimidated. And as Halloween gets closer, people are getting more intimidated and less likely to go out. They're trying to get everything done in the daytime, light hours, rather than going out at night time. You know, bangers going indoors, things like that. People feeling very nervous.
And Jen, did you hear, I know it's Clanbrassil Street, I don't know if that's within your bailiwick, so to speak, but we got phone calls last week that young men were throwing lighted bangers. They light them and throw them at cyclists.
That's true.
Is that true?
That's true, and at cars and at buses. There are parents who are scared to bring their children to the playground or let their older teenagers go to the playground because bangers are being lit and just thrown at each other. And the kids, and just to say, the kids who have the bangers are also throwing them at each other, not even mentioning anybody else. This just seems to be a game, or they've no fear whatsoever to just throw the bangers. And what we were saying at the policing forum amongst the table that I was at was that bangers are expensive, and where are people getting bangers? They're illegal, but everybody seems to have them in Dublin 8. it's very worrying for the older people, and it's very worrying for teenagers as well, that they can't just hang out with their friends without getting involved with, you know, other young people who are not maybe doing what they should be doing, you know? It's been coming up for a number of months and years about young people and having nothing to do in the southwest inner city. Mm. And, you know, green space in the area was the thing. That and dog poo was coming up with the local elections. But, you know, Dublin 8 is the lowest amount of green space per square metre in the country. And, there's young people there not doing anything. They have nothing to do. And the youth services funding's cut. So these are the things. It's kind of cyclical.
Now, in fairness, the two lads now that are on the video holding up that woman and the other two men at gunpoint in broad daylight, I don't think looking at them now a game of table tennis would distract
them. I don't think so either. No, and I mean, that's the other thing. there is the other part of it that, you know, in Dublin 8, one of the biggest conversations that is also happening is the amount of drug use and drug selling in the area and the lack of police on the beat. There's a big debate about the Merchant's Quay injection centre, especially with the schools there and the children who go to that school nearby. And there's a very big debate in the local area about that. But there is an increase of the amount of people who you can see who have addiction issues around Dublin 8. And it's incredibly sad because, you know, the services are there. Can they access them? I don't know. But I work in Ballymun, and I know that what we've been experiencing is there was a lot of crack cocaine found recently, and you know, the level of violent crime that's happening because of drugs like crack. Now, I'm not a drugs worker; I wouldn't know the kind of ins and outs of what happens, but the level of violent crimes, violent thefts, you know, like really aggravated assaults, because people are desperate. It's very, very serious in areas like Ballymun, and I feel that it's reflected in Dublin 8 as well.
And do you think, like, I not that I can judge, but I don't think the two lads looked like they were on drugs.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know if they were on drugs. Where did they get the gun?
I know. That's the,
you know, I mean, no matter what they were on or weren't on, like, where did they get the gun from?
And what is the drug situation? Because, again, we hear anecdotally. What did I hear the other night? Someone said to me, who knows what he's talking about? Someone said crack cocaine has taken over the town.
Yeah, it is. Crack cocaine would be what
I was
here.
driving by Oliver Bond Flats there one morning. It was early enough last week. And it was like a supermarket. From one side of the railings, and the people, I know people who live in Oliver Bond, they're lovely people. Mm-hmm. But the lads are using one side of the railings is where they have the drugs, and the other side is where the lads or whoever is buying them. So if the Gardaí come, they have to get over the railings and chase the guys who have the drugs. Yeah. By that stage, they'll have got rid of the drugs. But that was in broad daylight. Charleville Mall outside the school. Broad daylight, selling drugs.
Yeah.
St. Audience, not too far from where we're talking about. St. Audience, I saw the principal of that wonderful school there at St. Audience in, I think it was the Evening Herald yesterday, talking about open drug dealing outside the gates of the primary school.
And open drug taking. When I was canvassing outside there in May, I was talking to parents for hours. It was an incredibly long time talking to parents and how worried they are about what their children are exposed to there. And, you know, Merchant's Quay were going, they were, you know, trying to move people on and all those things. Like it's a really difficult situation for that particular stretch of the road there in Dublin 8. But there, you know, it certainly wasn't pleasant for anybody.
For a sec, Jen. That's Jen Cummings, who's also the Social Democrats rep in the southwest inner city of Dublin. Eamon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened to your son?
About 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, he's walking across the Hapenny Bridge. And the two boys with hoodies and black jackets on him pulled a gun on him. Took his new iPhone and his fuel button.
Pulled the gun?
Yeah. The same two lads, you know, they had black jackets and hoodies on them.
Now, people are saying, it's probably not a real gun.
Well, I know that, but...
But your son didn't know that.
He didn't know that. I was only after buying him a brand new iPhone 7, €550. Took that off.
And the Garda statement about the two lads that pulled the gun last night, yesterday evening, broad daylight. By the way, what time was the gun pulled on
11,
your son?
11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. On the Hapenny Bridge, pretty central to the...
Yeah, well, they said they checked the video. The lads went up along the quay and the guards said they checked the video, but he never had the word back from.
The Gardaí are saying two males armed with what is believed to be a gun. Well, the people who you're aiming believed it was a gun, didn't he? That was the intention.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the intention. Well, yeah. That was the intention and of it. By the way, Tom, have you seen the video?
I have, yeah.
And what did you think?
Well, you know, at the first, I was just praying that the gun was fake. And I believe that man deserves a medal as well. He's a very brave man.
The man that ran back and
the man that ran back, yeah,
and shielded a woman. Yeah, they could have shot him, you're right.
You know.
Yeah, okay, Emma Farr lives in Rialto in Dublin 8. Emma, good afternoon.
Hiya, Joe, how are you?
Well, you go ahead, Emma. Beginning eyewitness violence.
Yeah, Yeah, so it's no longer really condemned as antisocial behaviour in Dublin 8. It's actually criminal activity, what's going on. Like, and we've had countless community forums and community meetings where the Gardaí have told that they'd be present, and they've just kind of cancelled that last minute. So it's an ongoing issue, and I've witnessed on a daily basis like antisocial behaviour, like, to the extent where I personally have had to get involved in it because I can't be a bystander anymore, you know, like if I see like an innocent person.
Well, tell me what you did.
So there's actually, I have a lot to go, like a lot of occasions, but one of them was there was a delivery driver on a motorcycle and a gang of youths kind of got in the way, dragged him off the motorbike and took his keys, began to attack him. And I was standing in my garden. I could see it going on. There was just people passing by, just taking their phones out and recording it. So I just ran up the road. I just kind of had a moment of madness and I just kind of screamed at them. And I'm like, I'm a 26-year-old young woman. Like, I'm a mother and I'm getting up in people's faces while people are standing there recording, and we've called the guards on numerous occasions. Like,
and what did you shout at them?
I just kind of had a moment of madness. I was just screaming abuse, like telling them to like get away from him, give him back his keys. And then I don't know, like maybe they thought like I was one of them, so they kind of reasoned with me. They were like, oh, it wasn't me, it was him. Then they kind of all just scattered, like.
And did the man get his property back?
He did. I got his keys back from him, but at that moment he wanted to call the Garda, but I just said, look, it's not worth it, you just need to leave, because you call the Garda and you're hanging around and then you're just going to be attacked again. So he just kind of went on his way.
Were there other occasions where you've intervened?
Yeah, like literally last week at about 4 p.m. there was a gang, it's the same gang of youths that are doing it constantly. They were trying to break into a go-kart. Because they're kind of scattered.
Those rental cars, rental car.
Yeah, so they broke into the car and I was standing in my mom's garden when there was children outside playing, and I shouted over, like, what are you doing? And they were like, oh, we're hot wiring the car. And I was like, no, you're not doing that. Like, so we kind of got into a backward and forward altercation. I'm in my mom's garden, they're shouting at me, I know where you Weston live, I'm going to put your windows through, all this kind of stuff. So then my brother ran out at them, and then they all ran off. Then we called the Garda, and then the Garda actually said on the phone, the emergency services, they said, this isn't really an emergency, maybe ring your local Garda station and get them to send someone down. And I'm like, there's children out playing, they're trying to rob a car. What is an emergency then?
Well, it's a Garda matter. If a car has been stolen and there's children in the area. What they said, you dialed 999.
Yeah.
You asked for the Garda Síochána.
Yeah.
The Garda Síochána, you're adamant, Emma, said, don't be bothering us, ring your local station.
Yeah, they said ring either Kilmaine or Kevin Street.
But is it not his or her job to contact the local station?
Yeah, it is.
Why do we have a 999 number if they say not known at this address when you ring?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not antisocial behaviour. It's not people hanging around the street corners. They're doing criminal activities.
There's a crime in progress,
Yeah, they're breaking into cars. They're attacking people, innocent people going by. Like, you know, Dublin 8, it's a heavily tourist area. Like, you have Teeling's Distillery, you have Guinness's, like, the video, like, on Facebook. There's vulnerable people.
You have an incredible... You have the Pierce Lyons, that wonderful distillery. You have the Guinness Storehouse. You have now Row & Co., another visitor centre. Pierce Lyons, the visitor centre. You have St. James's Church, which is a magnificent church, well worth a visit as well. You have the Guinness Storehouse, as we said. Then you go to the vaults at live.ie. Then you go down onto Thomas Street, which in itself, St. Catherine's Church, where Robert Emmett was hung. It's deeply historic area. Then you have NCAD, the National College, another beautiful building.
Kilmainham Jail,
one of the best. You have the Royal Hospital in Kilmainham. You have the Museum of Modern Art. And then you cross the river, not too far away, you have the magnificent Collins Barracks. So it's a tourist mecca up there.
It really
in that
is.
Part of the city. And that's two incidents, Emma. Don't tell me there was a third time you intervened.
No, there has been. There's been numerous times. And it's not just me. It's my sister. It's my brother. It's my dad. Yeah. It's my mom.
And Emma, did you not get scared when they said to you, we know where you live?
No, I didn't, because all I cared about in that moment was like protecting like the people around me. Do you know what I mean? So I don't. What if they put my windows through? Like, I'd rather like save the life of my niece or nephew or my son. I don't care. Like, they're.
And you have a boy, have you?
Yeah, I have a 14-month-old son.
Oh, well done. Fair play to you. Well done. And you're still. By the way, did you have your 14-month-old when you confronted these couriers?
The occasion last week with the go-kart, yeah, he was in the garden playing, so he was there. But the other time before that, he was in the house at the time. Like, so it's just ongoing, and it's really letting the community down, because this is the thing you're seeing on Facebook. Oh, Dublin 8. Yeah,
well done, well done. Emma, can I give out your full name?
Yeah, if you like.
It's Emma Farr. Are you involved in any community group? Because there's great community groups up around Rialto and great tenants groups and redeveloping Fatima and Dolphin House. But you're a magnificent young woman. You really are.
Thank you. I'm not myself, but my dad is heavily involved in the community. He actually ran for the local council, but he unfortunately didn't get in. So he's kind of the main show around there. He's a cousin.
Okay, well, I know who's going to be on the ticket the next time. If any political party up there is listening at the moment, Emma, because you're a great person. Best of luck. What's your boy's name?
His name is Cole.
Cole, gorgeous name. Cole, gorgeous
name.
Thanks, Emma. Good health to you and your family. Well done. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Remember, we are in the Faith Lake Hotel in Waterford this coming Friday, but there's nothing funny about what happened yet. This is the people asking to hear again the sound of this woman screaming as she's held at gunpoint in the centre of Dublin yesterday afternoon at 6 o'clock. Angus McInerney produced, and Ray Darcy is next.